Happy ID4. It's 2014, the year of our Lord, and also the year of the alien invasion of what? Aliens.
No, that happened 50 years ago, and we've been under their control ever since.
No, you've been under their control ever since.
No, we're
James
all in the Matrix.
Scherer.
We're
no,
all
in Jeff Matrix. Brewer, we're
yes,
not in the Matrix.
Are. Yes, we are.
You just think you are.
I didn't. I took the
go
the,
listen to your Rob Zombie and pretend you're in the Matrix.
I took the purple pill. Nexium. Nexium is for the person who can't decide whether they want to remain in the Matrix or not. So they just popped them both. They half woke up from the Matrix.
Speaking of taking pills, I watched Akira the other day. That's a good movie.
Oh,
there,
I need to
there's
watch
pills
that
in it.
Jamie, I ordered it and it's over here, so you should just come over to my place after we get our new floors in and then watch it with me.
Or I have a TV with internet and we can watch it on YouTube. Totally good.
It's on YouTube?
It is, yeah. Yeah, entirety. Yep. In super high rip or super high res rip.
Is this like one of those official YouTube movies?
Nope.
Or is this like some
totally
dude?
Not. Yeah, actually, you can watch any good anime on YouTube at this point. I watch Redline afterwards.
Wow. I thought they had a pretty tight leash on those things. Cause...
No, not at all.
Oh, man. This is crazy.
It's probably already gone.
Lawless.
Lawless.
Did you guys hear that Yahoo Screen bought Community?
I did hear that.
It's all sorts of video services vying for my... From a Dallas.
What's your home scream?
Is Ghostface? What's his stupid name? Childish Gamboni or Gamboni?
Ghostface Killa?
Gabrino? Is he still on, Jamie? Did he
I don't
leave
know
Community?
If he's still gonna. No, he left in the middle of last season, so I would assume that he won't come back, which is a shame.
Crazy bastard.
But yeah, he's.
Let's make more shitty rap music.
Yep. Shitty, weirdly sexist. Strangely typical rap music.
Sounds pretty good to me.
They love him on Tumblr, Griffin. So,
ooh, all right, okay.
Yeah, you might want the only one that I'm aware of.
Is he on Butt Tumblr?
Yahoo Screen, to answer your question from earlier, Griffin, is yeah, it's like brand new, and it's because Marissa Meyer is now at Yahoo, and decided that Yahoo needed a YouTube, I guess.
Wait. She fell asleep and missed a meeting.
Wasn't that a thing before?
Womp womp.
In my Marissa Meyer fan fiction, when she falls asleep and misses meetings, quote unquote, there's a lot more going on there.
You're also over there. Related to what's happening.
What did you say, Griff?
Nothing. Not important. I was just wondering, like, didn't YouTube have, or didn't Yahoo have a video sharing service that existed like 3 years ago and then it was shut down?
Potentially, but didn't Marissa Meyer just get there like a year ago?
I don't know who that is.
I think she's been there for 2 years. She was a former high-level Google employee who took over as the CEO of Yahoo. My sister interned there right before she took over. She wasn't the CEO of Google.
I thought she was.
Type.
No, it's facts, Larry Page and Sergey Brin are the only two CEOs.
Okay, what was she? She was chief lady.
Yeah, chief lady.
Okay.
She was high up. That's all I know. But yeah.
She was a cool glass of water.
She was a vice president of local maps. Location services and products and user experience. That's a very vague title.
I'm all about the user experience, really.
Yeah. I might put the user experience second, right behind the graphical user experience, but I don't
well,
know.
Actually, I'm in the user experience. It's my secondary title.
Okay.
It's just wellness and recovery coach and user experience.
I'm chief chill officer of Boss Barrel East. I make sure that no one has an office. If anyone starts to have an office, or make a video game, I put an end to it real quick.
Good, yeah. You're the kneecapper of Boss Barrel.
Exactly.
And if I do say so myself, I am Professor of Farts.
Oh, my. Not Commandant?
No.
You don't want to have that military relationship.
Yeah, I'm not ready to. I'm not ready to take on that kind of responsibility. Yeah, I'm a conscientious objector.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, Boss Barrel Canada, Boss Barrel North is willing to accept. Oh, you're pretty much up there already, aren't you?
Yeah,
hey,
pretty much.
I got a question. Do you celebrate the 4th of July in Maine?
Are you serious?
Or do you just go crazy? Do you just go crazy with your
all
lobsters?
Our holidays are replaced with lobster themed holidays.
Yeah, just tie bottle rockets on the lobsters and shoot them into space.
Yes, we strap sticks of dynamite and then launch them out of cannons.
You throw them into other lobsters to kill the lobsters. Is this just like this Earth Defense Force of lobster that has?
Well, all of our holidays have lobster fights.
Okay,
where we just put lobsters in tanks and shake them around.
It's good. Yeah, crab games or the grabber games. Yep.
Yeah.
Is there any restaurant that doesn't serve lobster?
No. Okay. A lobster in every pot. There's currently a lobster just crawling around in our pot, just in case someone comes over.
The state motto, a lobster in every pot.
Actually, what happens is if we have company coming by, we just lift up the refrigerator and lobsters scurry away, and we just grab one and throw it in the pot.
Instead of having a pile out back, it's just a lobster pile.
You don't have a tire fire, it's just a lobster fire?
Yes.
Huh. Interesting.
Our foundation is 30% lobster of our home.
Well, that's
But yes, we do celebrate the 4th of July. Although, due to the hurricane, the fireworks on the 4th are canceled almost everywhere in Maine. Does that happen to you, Jamie?
Why?
Because it's a hurricane that's making its way up the coast.
You're in Maine, though.
We're
like
miss
north
it.
Of Canada.
It just is. Remember we had that whole Hurricane Sandy thing 2 years ago?
That didn't affect you. You're in Maine.
It affected us a little bit. Not much, but it affected Jersey.
It affected
and
us, too, I think. You're in Des Moines.
I don't know. They're canceling it. Just going off the coast, just chilling, doing its thing. You know,
I think Maine is just like doing that, like, oh, hey guys, like we're totally affected by the rains as well. Like, can we go to the sad rain party that everything got canceled? Because we're on the East Coast, but we're higher than any other state in the country, so it probably shouldn't affect us.
Yes,
that's how weather works, right?
We do have a really dumb governor. I don't know if that's relevant to this conversation, but maybe that's part of why the reason this happened.
Are you seeing a lot of rain?
Yep, it did rain today quite a bit.
Nice. It's good.
You guys, I literally have to check my email to remember what games I bought during the Steam and Good Old Game sale.
You telling me, Jamie, that you have not updated the games you played and or bought this week in the Google document that I so graciously sent to you 2 days ago?
I might be saying that. I might be.
We've hit the summertime, so instead of games you've played, it now turns into games you've bought because fuck it.
Steam crazy sales.
Well, that
I bought nothing on the Steam sale.
There's just nothing to do, so it's like, I don't want to play a game. I'll just amass the hoard and buy everything.
That's what I did. I'm not going to have time to play any of these games.
Yep.
I've been working through some games. I've had time.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
You still got, you got the backup generator? You got the backup generator going over there?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been really trying to take a real crack at the backlog this year. I usually do that thing where I'm like,
crack at your backlog.
Whoa! It would have been better if you said something about putting your log into my back
your
or something.
Crack. Your back crack. Together, we're funny.
Yes, between the three of us.
Yeah.
There's like one good joke in there.
When our powers combined, mildly erotic homosexual innuendo.
And crippling loneliness. But yeah, no, I've been trying to do some backlog. Usually I'll have the idea of doing backlog and I'll go to play something and I'll just sit there and be like, this, there's no way I'm ever going to do this.
Hmm.
But this year I'm actually doing stuff.
That's good. Yeah. So what have you done? What is your springboard into backlog town?
Well, the first big one that I've been trying to kind of take a crack at is Dragon's Dogma. Which Griffin apparently feels very fondly about. Dragon's Dogma was a Capcom game.
More like Crapcom.
Whoa! That's very novel, Jamie.
More like Capcom.
Griffin, how dare you insult them like that? don't compare them to that terrible company.
Many bows. Such apologies.
Yeah, it's a Capcom, like, kind of open-ish RPG, kind of vaguely. I don't know how you describe. What was I going to say?
Don't do it.
Don't say what.
Don't do it.
It.
Don't Skyrim. Do
it. No.
Monster Hunter.
No. Yes. Dang it.
I don't know what's the word you want me to say that I can't say.
Dark Souls.
It's not really like Dark Souls at all. Okay. It's like an action RPG. You know, kind of combo-ish focus. Not really. I mean, you have lots of different types of moves. All, you know, with, like, different physical properties, like, you know, manipulation of geometry or, like, distance from the enemy, that kind of stuff. The main hooks are that, one, you can climb enemies a la Shadow of the Colossus, and, like, attack certain parts of their bodies, which is super cool. And the other big hook is that you have companions with you at all times that are called pawns that are basically like a little bit more tweakable AI buddies. Like it's kind of like they have like a light version of Gambits essentially, and you can kind of mess with their AI a little bit and you're responsible for their development. It's been a cool little game. It's like an open world, but it has a lot of things going for it in terms of like aesthetic. Like for example, like all the locations are really far apart and every area is like well designed, like they're traversing the area. So it feels like you never really know like what's around any given corner. And there's also like a really well realized day and night system. So when it gets dark out, like the way you interact with the world like fundamentally changes because you just cannot see a thing when it gets dark out. And like you have to pull out your lamp and all the hard enemies come out. And Jamie's writing knock knock. That's a game. Jamie's not even there.
No, I'm here. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Yeah, so it's been cool. I'm not that far, but it has a good feel. It's definitely a backloggy feeling game, but I'm liking it. It's scratching my action RPG itch. I'll look it up right now. I'm playing Dark Arisen, which is the classic Capcom. It's like the Ultra EX Alpha version of Dragon's Dogma.
That's the free one for PlayStation Plus.
I actually bought it on disc before it went free.
Oh, you are so fancy.
Well, I didn't know. But yeah, it was free on PlayStation Plus for a time. I'm liking it. It's really fun to explore. It just feels. It feels good to just venture out in the world. Like it feels like you really the world feels dangerous and like you don't really know what's around any given corner. Going on a quest feels like taking a real trek because
how does the actual world feel like being in this world of Dragon's Dogma? Like is there well realized locations with interesting things to do, or does it feel more kind of point A to B to C with nothing really in between filling it up?
I would say that it's kind of a middle ground between like the kind of magical exploration of Skyrim and like a more kind of rote like world map experience. Like there is a lot of stuff off the beaten path, but usually it's like a cool little chest or something. Mm-hmm. But like I have been walking along the path and then just kind of happened upon like a grotto.
Oh,
and I go
cool.
inside. Yeah, I went inside and like I found a room full of venomous spiders and I killed them all. And like I got like 10,000 gold, and then I found a door that was locked from the other side. And no quest that I've seen yet has made reference to this.
Oh my goodness!
So that was really cool. And what did you say?
I said, "Oh my goodness!"
Oh yeah, I thought you said something about Katniss, and I was like, "No." But yeah, it's been cool, and I haven't even made it to like the big city yet, you know, that's kind of the first hub world of the game, or maybe the only hub world. So I can't really speak to kind of the scope yet, but what I have seen in terms of exploration has already been rewarding. So it does seem like traversal will kind of have its own, like, be its own reward or whatever. But I'll definitely keep you guys posted as that develops more. But yeah, I've been liking it so far.
All right. What else you been playing?
The other two things that I dug into in the backlog, I'll briefly touch on Kentucky Route Zero, which I...
Bat plug. But plug.
I played about, let's say, 15-20 minutes of Kentucky Route Zero. Jamie, have you touched that yet?
Yes, but for literally like 30 seconds before we started this podcast, but I'm already completely in love with it. Please don't tell me that it's bad.
Okay.
You can tell me it's bad if it's actually bad.
I don't think it's bad. I think that it feels like Mass Effect Lite, the adventure game.
Mass Effect?
Well, in terms of like a BioWare-ish adventure game, like where you make a lot of like, or maybe not. No, that's not really true. You seem to be making a lot of choices that don't really matter. What is that? What was that like? Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. Yeah. You make a lot of choices that don't seem to do anything, which make very small little changes, which kind of serve to kind of add a little more flavor to the world. Like, there'll be these interesting moments where, like, you'll be walking with this dog, and this dog, I guess, is your companion in one way or another, and someone will be like, what's his name? And then, like, at that moment, like, you'll name the dog based on how you respond. It'll be like, you know, oh, that's Henry, or like, oh, that's Mary, you know, we've been together forever, or
that's,
oh, that's
butt
just
butt.
Some dog.
I
yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's cool. It's an interesting way to kind of flesh out. You're essentially role-playing through your responses, but you make pretty, I guess they're like more significant choices than you ordinarily would expect to make in a dialogue tree, even though they don't actually affect anything. So, for example, like the name and history of your dog, or, you know, like how long you've been a trucker for, or, you know, whatever else. That's basically what you can do. You can be like, oh, you know, I just started this gig, or like, you know, oh, I've been doing this forever.
Can you be a space trucker?
There's some spacey type things. I don't know what they are, but there's weird stuff. There's magical realism happening. But it's been cool. It definitely doesn't feel particularly like substantial yet, but I'm not far. But I'm gonna get more into that. And I'll get more impressions, and Jamie, you should do the same. But the other game that I have been kind of getting into, and I talked to Griffin a little bit about this before we started, is Earthbound. And just a little background, I played Mother 3 before I played Earthbound, and I loved it. It's one of my favorite games of all time. Played Earthbound, and I don't like it as much, which is weird, because people...
What
like,
system did that come out on?
Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo.
Yes.
Did it come to the U.S.?
Yes.
But 3 didn't come to the U.S.?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though it was referenced in E3 this year. In that little robot chicken thing.
Fib ribbon.
But yeah, I haven't liked it as much. It feels very like early Dragon Quest in terms of the menu organization. Like, you press the A button, and rather than talking to people, it just opens a menu where you can choose talk to, look, you know, items, or like, you know, open door. It just feels really archaic at times. And you move really slow. And the translation doesn't seem that good.
You take it back! Take it back!
I feel like the source material is really cool, but I feel like just the kind of so-so localization is making it less...
You have no realm to say that that's true. I mean, no, that's a silly thing to say, Jeff, because you don't know that the Japanese is way better than localization.
No, I don't know that. I mean, my only basis for that is that Mother 3 was such an amazing game.
Which was a thing that was translated over many, many years, and this was a one-time thing.
Well, that's why I'm saying that I think the localization might be to blame. I don't know for sure.
But it might not be the localization that's to blame. It could just be the original game, which is not as fleshed out and well, you know, designed as the game that you love, which is the sequel. The sequel,
yes,
that has
but,
had
but,
plus
but,
plus
no, but
plus.
You just made like a circuit. You just made like a circular argument, though.
Yeah, I know.
Because my point is that it Okay, so either it's a less stellar localization, or it's just that the quality wasn't as good. Either way, I guess I'm giving the developers the benefit of the doubt by saying this probably is a great game. It's my enjoyment of it is hampered a little bit by a very strange
But you can't say script, the localization.
A very strange script that may or may not be a result of localization.
Sure.
There you go.
I mean, I think a lot of people would say localization is pretty good with this game.
Okay. It's not really getting me. For whatever reason.
That's fine. I mean, that's like saying, hey, you know, Final Fantasy VIII was better than Final Fantasy VII. And that's absolutely true because it was a sequel. So
false.
Accurate.
So false.
No, 100% right. I mean, the second one is way better than the first. So I totally,
It had a better localization than FF7, which had a pretty bad localization, but was a better game.
No, I'm just being a jerk there. But, I mean, obviously, it's like a very tight framework, two games very similarly designed, and one is just, like, mechanically better than the other. But what is so enjoyably charming about this is, like, it came out, and it was quirky, and it was weird, and like... Jeff, I think had America received Mother 3 or Earthbound 2 or whatever, like it would be unanimously agreed upon that it was a superior game and everybody would have loved it. It's just,
yeah,
this is all we got. And so many people loved it knowing what Mother 1 was. And then going to this, they're like, oh, this is super rad. Like, it's super charming, super enjoyable. And then a lot of people didn't play the third game, which, of course, is going to be a better game.
Although it does seem to be kind of divided on the internet amongst those who've played both, which is the better experience. So that's why I'm kind of holding out. And I've been giving it a long chance. Like, it hadn't really grabbed me for a while. It's kind of starting to get me a little bit. I don't know. Its weird charm is kind of starting to sink into me. But... I don't know. I think I am definitely hurt by having played, you know, as you said, Griffin, the mechanically superior, but also maybe the narratively superior game. First, so
yeah.
I don't know. I'm still giving it.
Earthbound
I still
is
need
a lot
to give it
flatter
a chance.
than Mother 3. Yeah.
Mother 3. Yeah. It doesn't have the same kind of, I guess, texture to kind of continue your
je
analogy.
Ne sais quoi.
Yeah. Well, it just doesn't feel as fleshed out. The writing, like I said earlier, is kind of very spare. Like you're not given a lot of information through either the visuals or the visuals, you know, that's fine.
Right.
It's not a lot of like world building. It's just kind of like, here is a situation. Whereas I feel like Mother 3 has a lot of that, a lot of characterization and world building.
Right. But I think what is so adored about Earthbound is the things that were done in it in the world of like Super Nintendo RPG games where, you know, you're playing our RPGs is like, you're like, oh, you're a magic user and you have superpowers and you sleep in the inn, you get your buttons up at night and you have this lady in your party and that dude in your party. And this is like, no, you're just a guy who is 7 years old and you wake up and you like steak and you have a dog and you meet a bee. And he has to call his dad to save, and he gets money in his bank account and uses his ATM.
Yeah.
And there's just like
it's very
this, like,
real world,
very real world. But like, and that's what makes it so charming is like you're like, oh, that's so cute. Like you walk into battle, and it's like you tamed the hippie. Hippie became tame.
You fight a drunk dude.
Right. You fight like a skateboarder, and it's super like endearingly real in that same world where you're like normally you'd be fighting like goblins and kobolds and bears or whatever, but you know that's all stupid garbage. But if you didn't play it then, or if you didn't have like a if you didn't have that mindset then of like, well, this is how games were, the impact of it is a lot less.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
So if you're feeling like it's not quite as impactful as 3, then that makes total sense. I just don't think you should blame it on, like, the translation or something.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it is or isn't. It feels like a weird... It just feels like a weird localization, but maybe the script is just really, really weird.
Hmm.
I only said that because it's oftentimes just not that readable.
Okay.
There's just a lot of very awkward, like, usage and syntax. And that could just be a function of how it was intended to be. However, I suspect that it is a localization thing. Again, I have no idea.
Can you think of anything offhand that's specific?
I'll give you guys script examples later, but it'll be like, I don't know. It'll be like, when you call your dad to save, it'll be like, well, Ness, experience to the next level is this.
Yeah.
It's about time to turn in. I'm going to go to bed. Yes, no. And then you hit no. And it's like, you work hard. Goodbye.
it feels
super disjointed.
I've also heard, and Jeff, this may be me hearing too much of like the Earthbound Lovers, like talking and having that little like cricket in my ear telling me that everything's cool. But like, I've also heard a lot of explanations that say that was done on purpose to create a dissonance that makes you think you're still playing a game and things are weird. Like, if you think of the marketing of Earthbound, the marketing of Earthbound was super bananas crazy. Like, it's like this giant box that was like a 1 foot by 6 foot thing that cost you $160, and you got scratch and sniff stickers with it and a guide and like a blanket or something. It was super strange. And I think that like part of that was the localization was purposefully a little like ungainly, but for a specific reason. It may be the Kool-Aid talking, saying that is what you should be feeling. Like, if you're saying, like, hey, this is kind of weird, like, yeah, maybe it is kind of weird. But, that may be my crazy influence brain also.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say right now. I will say that stuff is becoming more charming over time. So it could be that's intentional. Maybe it's supposed to be getting under your skin like that. I also wanted to say that one of the enemies in the game is called the unassuming local guy, who I'm just assuming is a pedophile.
Right.
Amazing.
He has a kiddie porn dungeon in his basement. So
incredible.
Yeah. But that's my backlog that I've been kind of trying to clear out. I got other stuff on there, but that's what I'm doing for now. And then I guess the other game I'm playing, which all of us have played now, is Shovel Knight.
Jevenet.
But we could talk about that now or later. It's up to you guys.
Jevenet.
I don't have much to add to that discussion, so you guys might as well go ahead.
How much of Shovel Knight have you played, Jimmy?
The first level, then the first town, and then the castle above the first town.
Okay. So you killed one of the robot. I mean the what are those things called?
The Mavericks.
The Order of No Quarter.
Yes, right. I killed one of them.
Nice.
On my first try, actually.
Yeah, well, he's easy. He's the easiest one.
Okay, well,
thanks, Jeff.
I thought he was kind of hard. I took him like two tries.
I don't mean it that way.
Okay. Yeah, that confetti fucked me up, for sure.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, well, I sucked at it, so... Jamie, keep plowing through. It's tough. I had a hard time with it, for sure.
Yeah. It definitely gets harder in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But
it gets harder all the time, except after the first three bosses. Then it's pretty easy. But hell, you don't know. Like, maybe you're seeing into the Matrix right then. You're like, oh, these guys are super easy, and these guys are really hard, or vice versa. So, I don't know. Don't worry about it.
But seriously, though, damn propelling it to hell.
No, not really.
The dudes with the blowing.
No, okay. Well, his level was a jerk level. Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't too bad, but his level was awful.
Yeah, it was a jerk level. That was for sure.
Yeah.
Didn't like that line.
Yeah. But yeah, Shovel Knight is incredible.
It's a good game.
Probably one of my favorite games of the year so far.
Wow.
What else is?
I mean, it's already one of my favorite games of the year. I've played two levels. It just has so much charm. It's got charm oozing out of its behind.
I can't think of anything else that's really like set my world on fire this year. Can you guys think of anything?
Yeah, I got a few.
Tons for me, but I'll talk about that later.
It's comic book games.
But that's stuff that came out last year, though. Oh, Walking Dead 2 didn't, no.
And
Wolf Among Us.
I guess I haven't talked about
it. Started to come out about it. Yeah.
You have not talked about Wolf Among Us.
The last episode of which is coming out super soon. I'm so excited!
Did you get the glitch, Jamie, where it looks like...
tell you guys about my glitch.
Where it looks like the Big Bad Wolf is, like, stripper pulling on just random things?
No. I did not get that.
There's a YouTube video of it. It's great.
I can't wait to tell you what did happen, because it was amazing. But I'll get there after when we get to me.
Should we say things about Shovel Knight?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, say it.
I don't know. Yeah, why not?
I'm not going to spoil it for me, right? There's no spoilers.
Jamie, there's 8 bosses.
No!
Jamie,
there's more than one final level.
There's a...
No!
Yeah, yes. Jamie.
No!
Collectible upgrades.
Checkpoints.
You guys, are there gems in the game?
Gems.
Yes.
A currency system.
Digging. I feel like Shovel Knight is like what NES games would become if they became modern but retained all the things that were great about them. Just to kind of sum it up.
Yeah. Totally agree.
In like, the best ways.
If instead of the instead of like a PS1, you made the next system. If that was the progression, then this would make sense. I mean, maybe not technically, but like design wise,
yeah,
this would be the next thing.
I completely agree. I think that it's all the stuff you liked about those games, and none of the stupid crap you didn't like, passwords or anything else.
Yep.
You know, it's the ways in which they handle your death is pretty merciful. There's a lot of checkpoints in every level, although you can break them if you want to be a badass.
No.
And you get trophies for that. Griffin, do you like all the trophies?
There's not trophies, Jeff.
Well, there's feats.
Fuck that shit. There's no trophies in this game. It's not for PlayStation.
Do they not count if they're not trophies?
No, I can't share them with other people, so it doesn't matter.
I wasn't sure about the rules of trophies. I didn't know if it was the challenge or just the accumulation of larger and larger numbers.
No.
I was a fool for thinking it could have been the first one.
No, the point of the achievement/trophy is you can show it off to other people who you are friends with to show that you are better at doing things than they are. Whereas these feats/hot trash garbages are the same thing as like hidden gaps on Tony Hawk 1 and 2 and 3 where you can like, I did this thing, but nobody knows it except for me. And that doesn't mean anything in this day and
That's
age.
That's dumb.
Yeah. You're like, hey man, I totally did the double humpback gap.
And I don't like, actually enjoy video games. I just enjoy being better at things than other people.
I just live stream and record everything, so the world will know how great I am.
Doesn't matter. How many viewers are watching a live stream? Is it more than the other guys? Because there's trophies for that.
If someone live streams on Twitch and nobody watches, is it actually happening? yeah, it's been really cool. I liked the feats. I don't know. I did a bunch of them. Not all of them.
I don't give a shit.
Alright, fine. It's really great.
Can you describe what I'm actually curious, Jeff, so can you describe what they are a little bit? Like give me an example of a feat.
Beat the game.
Yeah, there's some
How's that deal? Is that good? Beat the game without dying.
Yeah, they're pretty dumb. There's nothing special about them. I retract my statement. Bounce on a ring. Bouncing on that ring for 5 seconds is pretty hard.
Yeah,
did you do that, Griffin?
No, it's not hard at all. It's stupid as fuck, and it's there's nothing around it, so it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't the best.
No. They're super uninteresting.
But yeah. I don't know. What, the bosses are great.
Yes.
Love those bosses.
Yeah.
Had some great animations.
I have a controversial question. I know this is weird, but did you like the music?
Love it.
I liked it.
And you liked it too? Okay.
I really love it, actually. I didn't think it was as good as other people did, but I thought it was good.
Holy crap. Okay, Jeff and I are in agreement here.
It didn't have a lot of memorable melodies.
Yeah, no, not at all. Kind of bland.
Yeah.
What?
I felt that it played its part. It fit the role well, but I can't imagine listening to any of that stuff. Yep. Well, actually, no, that's not true.
That's literally the first thing I imagined.
The Plague Knight level has some pretty sick music, I think.
I thought Propeller Knight level had a very fitting tune, and some of the boss battle music was fine, but nothing really, on the whole, was, like, memorable.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to find the ones that I really liked.
Okay, that's good. I'm super happy, because I felt like I was in the minority there, saying...
I hate being the minority.
Didn't really have a... strong feeling towards the music at all, and a lot of folks have been talking it up, so I don't know.
Yeah,
it's just an interesting difference of opinion. So
I mean, there were some definite good pieces in there, but it wasn't I've heard so much like really superlative stuff that this was, like I said, while this fit really well, mm-hmm. and it definitely didn't break the illusion of it being the type of game that it was, it wasn't, none of it is stuff that I'm going to actually download from my computer.
Yeah, totally. No, and especially with it being like 8-bit chiptune-y stuff, it's like, oh, there's a ton better out there that actually has real nostalgia hung on it. And then there's like the kind of Meat Boy levels of the like inflated nostalgia that's like enhanced along that like pixel art design that is really rad too. Like square wave pixel art, so...
I was going to say that I like the music that plays when you're sleeping at the campfire.
Mm. Yes.
Some good music right there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find the level that I really like the music for, but I haven't found it yet. I will send it to you, Griffin.
Jeff, you backed this. You were pretty confident about its success.
Mm-hmm.
You got it on the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie, you did the same. I got on 3DS.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people were pretty amped about this video game. It being out right now also helps quite a bit. But I think that kind of the common consensus is, hey, it's not just another Mega Man game. It's done a lot of cool stuff to kind of take the next steps into something more interesting and make its own unique flavor. Jeff, do you want to kind of talk about that?
Sure. I mean, I can't read your mind and know exactly what you're thinking of, but I guess for me, it just felt like it wasn't like it did any one thing that revolutionized the genre, but it just had really good, fun level design, a good difficulty curve, enough cool items to get you excited. Like, not all of them were great, but some of them were really cool. The shovel was an awesome weapon that added just enough to the formula to make things interesting. Plus, you had the fringe benefit of kind of a pseudo pogo stick from DuckTales. It really felt like the best parts of, like I said, like DuckTales, maybe a little bit of Bionic Commando and or Zelda 2 or stuff like that. Some Super Mario World, like where you have roaming enemies you encounter. Obviously, Mega Man is the biggest influence. A lot of great little throwbacks, like a stuff that I won't reveal to Jamie.
You best not.
Yeah, it's great.
There's
game.
Eight bosses.
great art style. It's a platformer with an art style. It just had a lot of really good stuff going for it. It just felt it's like that Kickstarter project that doesn't feel like a Kickstarter project at all. It just feels like a really great polished game.
Yeah.
Which is a great bit of praise. But also, I mean, forgetting its roots for a moment, I think it came in a good time. It's really well tuned. It's a passion project and it completely shows. Like through every pore of it is clearly a labor of love.
I think what's really cool about it, too, is it being a Kickstarter project. It's one of those things where you're like, it may as well not have been, you know, which is the best thing to say about Kickstarter, which is kind of how I feel about Shadowrun. Like, it's one of those things where you're like, it's small. It's like you said, a labor of love. It's well designed. Like, there's so many good high points. There's really nothing negative about it. And it came through Kickstarter. So that's super rad. Unlike a lot of things, but which just makes this awesome precedent for a lot of other games that we have, you know, the future to look forward to.
It joins a kind of small but growing group of games, you know, FTL, Shadowrun,
mm-hmm.
You can say what you want about Broken Age. I don't know where you want to put that one, but it just, you know, Kickstarter success stories. I will say the thing about this game is that the people who made it were essentially just a couple people who left WayForward. So these are people who had a lot of experience.
Yeah.
These aren't just people who were working out of a garage, you know?
Right. Which is the case with any good Kickstarter.
Well, I think FTL was just some dudes.
Oh, really?
But I think so. I'll have to look into who was behind Subset Games.
Not important. Let's just say it's true.
Yeah. I guess it still kind of remains the case that most of the Kickstarter success stories are by people who have a lot of history in the industry, who know how to put a game together, who know what the process of publishing looks like to some degree. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it really like democratized development in such a way like where just your average dude could now get lots of funding and make a great game. But I guess it never really was going to do that. It's not going to upend. It's not going to lead to a whole bunch of people just suddenly, you know, learning how to make games that are good.
Right.
But it's just another cool funding source, and you can make actually like good stuff. So that's cool.
Yeah, not worthwhile getting into the philosophy of Kickstarter, but it's really great when one is a success.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Jamie, you should keep playing it and do your best to get through it because it's fun. And if you don't find it fun, then give up too, because I almost did that a couple times. So enjoy.
I feel like Jamie's like really crazy good at platformers, so he'll be.
No, I'm not. But I don't think I'd. The one thing that I can do is coach myself through failure. So.
Right. Well, I'm absolutely terrible at platformers, and I made it through.
Yeah, it doesn't have the level of like cheesing stuff that Mega Man 9 would give you, like where you can buy the thing that saves you from spikes.
That sounds good.
Yeah, well, actually, it kind of does.
It
like
does
you get
have
the,
a thing.
You get
I
the,
use that
you get
a
the one
lot.
Item. I use that a little bit too. Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, once I realized I could abuse items, I was like, oh my god, I need to prepare for like that. Made Propeller Knight's level 1,000 times better when I just could fire rod everything.
That's what pissed me off so much was like the levels where it was instant death. Where I'm like, oh,
yeah,
well, this is freaking dumb. I mean, there are some ways to get around it, and there's some ways not. I agree with you, Jeff. That's why Propeller Knights was so difficult, because there was no way around it. I couldn't cheese it. I couldn't be cheap about it.
Yeah, and there was clearly, I mean, that's clearly something they wanted. I mean, they wanted to have instant death. You know, they wanted to do it. I mean, it definitely inflates the difficulty. I mean, you know, it was annoying.
There's an obvious point in the game where they make that the case, where they say, hey, he is the toughest.
Yeah, that last boss was such a great, great thing, though. Jesus.
Oh, my God. I was so pissed off. Like, I played it through for probably 15 minutes, just, like, failing over and over and over again, like, straight.
The first bit or the other bit?
All of it. Everything.
Yeah,
just
okay.
Terrible. Yeah, probably 15 minutes of piece, just dying over and over again. Just being really frustrated. And then as soon as that's what I kind of feel about this game, was like more so than like a Mega Man for me, because I think Mega Man, like you can see the pattern, but it's a matter of like, can you execute on the pattern? Can you deliver on the twitch mechanics that require you to beat this boss? That's Mega Man game. And this was more like, do you understand the pattern? If you do, yes, good, here you go. You can beat him now. And maybe that's just because I haven't played like an intense Mega Man game in a while. Maybe I'm better than I think I am. But once I was able to see these patterns and like get used to it, then they were nothing. Like the were nothing.
Yeah, I think you're right, Griff. I think with some exceptions, just learning the pattern is enough, which is why I think it's an easier game than Mega Man. But I think that it's totally fine for that. Like, you know, Mega Man is really annoying sometimes.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, it's definitely, once you have the patterns down, you know, with some exceptions, it feels a lot more manageable. Whereas Mega Man, you can have the patterns down and still get screwed over just by not reacting quick enough or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, that last boss, just so great on so many levels, just for so many little different reasons, which I'd love to discuss in more detail, but we will in due course.
Absolutely.
How long does it take to beat this game?
I think
less
it took
than
me
8 hours.
Yeah. I think 8 for me.
Yeah.
Good length.
Yeah.
Good length. I'm at the point, I'm so old, I say to myself, like, how long will this take? Like, I don't have that much time. I can't commit to something.
Dude,
big.
You've been playing like Hitman Go for like 45 hours. You can
That's
commit
true.
To it.
That's
yeah,
true.
I
officially your priorities.
I think I officially don't. I don't get the Hitman Go thing.
I love it. I love it so much. I'm so excited for the new levels.
I am
definitely one of my favorite like platform or what am I saying? Puzzle games.
Mm.
I just think that it's so smart. I haven't played anything like it. The art style is definitely a big part of the draw for me, and I really felt like that game introduced new gameplay aspects at a really even and interesting pace, and kept me thinking in like new and interesting ways throughout the entire game. That's where I'm coming from. But I totally get if it's not your thing.
I just feel like you have to wait all the time for everything. You just wait.
Like you don't like how you shuffle back and forth?
Yeah. Or just like how movement is slow and requires you to swipe your finger. It's just,
I never thought that, but I totally get what you're saying about the
moving around.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just it's I'm too impatient.
Uh oh. Everybody's gone now.
The problem is that I think that the moving around mechanic of that game is like smart and interesting because for me it's very hard for me to think that way.
Mm.
So it's always kind of a little bit of a mind bendy thing for me
gotcha.
When I think like, okay, nothing I'm doing is working. Maybe if I like switch the timing up by going back and forth two times on a board where it's six wide instead of an odd number wide,
yeah.
Then maybe I can screw the timing up and do things that way.
Whereas
because
for me,
that doesn't always work.
No, it doesn't. It often does not work. I was going to say, for me, it kind of feels like an annoying math problem and or like spatial analysis that I just don't want to deal with.
I like it because I always feel really good about myself when I do it. Yeah, I figured that out. Whatever. No big deal, game. You think you got me? No, you don't. You don't even know.
There's some new modes in that latest update.
There is?
Yeah.
I
don't know. There's some new things. There's enemies that can look both ways instead of one way.
What? Yeah, two heads.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
When you're not doing stuff, then no one can see you. You can
see, that's one of those examples. You're saying it sarcastically, but I'm like super pumped.
No, I know. It's the kind of game where that will fundamentally change the way you interact with the level.
Yeah.
I just don't. I think at its core, I just have a hard time like enjoying the interaction with the level. So. Well, I respect the mechanics and the way they're implemented. It's just like the core game doesn't really grab me.
Gotcha.
He hates the game, not the player.
Griff, did you give it a try?
Nope. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, I played like three chapters, Jamie, like two and a half chapters. I may return to it at some point, but unfortunately my iPad is already full.
Jamie, I think that this will be like the summer of the backlog of Jamie for me. Like, I promise you, I will give you at least one, because I have before.
Oh, no. No problem.
It will be a Hitman Go or a Walking Dead or a Fables something. Like, it's going to be a roll the dice, which one is cheaper, and I'll
I'm
buy
so
it
afraid.
And do it.
Don't do the comic books. I don't think you'll like those, but you might like Hitman. You should get, and you might like Siberia.
Yeah, I was gonna say if you do any of them, just do Siberia. That's the one that's gonna put you in his most good graces.
Sorry, that's the one that I say fuck no to the most. So,
really?
Yeah. That's surprising. I actually was opening my computer to install it right now.
You've never have you liked what adventure games have you liked, Griff?
Sam and Max, Monkey Island. Okay.
So they've got to have a sense of humor. So yeah, you might not like it, but this Siberia certainly doesn't have a sense of humor.
No,
but
certainly doesn't.
Oh man, that sucks. So forget that.
I'm gonna install it and play it, Jamie.
I know. Like, I think I have a very distinct memory of like 8 years ago, you saying like Siberia is my favorite game in the entire world, and I'm like, whoa, that's
still
crazy.
Up there for me.
No, it's just a weird thing for anybody to say that, and then like continuing my life. Knowing that somebody thought that Siberia was the best game of their entire life has always made me like double take when
like
when
what
that,
do I, like, I know what, this world is
what I think is, people
what are people not knowing? What is this person not knowing? What am I not knowing? Like, somebody actually values this out there. Like, it's like, it's bizarre. So
I think a lot of people like Siberia.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think Siberia is pretty well regarded.
I don't know about that.
I mean, it certainly was reviewed well at the time. People don't talk about it since, but I totally. It's not the kind of thing where when people if you were to play the whole game, and then you were to come back and say there's nothing redeeming about this game. It's one of the worst games I've ever played. I would be like, okay, like I wouldn't put up a fight because I could totally see how someone would think that. There are games out there like The Last of Us where it's like if someone says that to me, I'm like, no, you just don't get it. I'm going to explain this to you. but I wouldn't feel that way with Siberia.
Okay. Well, I will still play it at some point. That's a thing I will do.
It like it did a lot of things that I feel like a lot of games these days do better. Mm-hmm. So and for me at this point it's kind of riding on nostalgia.
Sure. But yeah, of course. And that's not a bad thing. It's
yeah.
You know, if I could be kind of like handheld through it, I'm sure I'd have a good time.
I bought it more so that you could just do it. So that when I say something about it, you're like, oh yeah, that part. That's really why I bought it.
No, I appreciate it. I think it came out on the DS as well, I think.
Oh yeah, but I bought that version. It was awful. It was so bad. I will buy Siberia whenever it is available.
I feel like... Okay, so the other... So there's two thoughts in my brain about your feelings about Siberia. One is like, Jamie knows something that not a lot of other people know, or at least he appreciates
I've heard people who like adventure games talking about Siberia amongst the company of greats.
Yeah, there's
so he's not alone.
There's something good out there to be seen. But then... I also think of it like maybe he's just a New Jersey sports team fanatic who loves hot trash for his entire life and will make excuses for it. And it's like, hey, the Mets could have done better, but, you know, Roderick, he got screwed in that last inning in the hockey goals.
For some reason... comparing Siberia to the Mets is like extremely apt. Like
that's kind of what I was thinking this my entire life.
So the things that it did at the time were present you with a post World War II like barren wasteland of an environment where everyone is stuck in the past and everything is wrong, but no one seems to notice. And for me, that kind of thing is really cool. So that's really what I latched onto. And I just really like adventure games, and I just really liked the art, and it really drew me in. It's not the kind of game. I can't explain to you like what it is about it that is so great, or even different from other adventure games. But it wasn't like it was like my first adventure game, so it's not like I was wearing rose-colored glasses, and it wasn't like my love for it has faded over time. So I don't know. Maybe I'll play it again so I can talk about it with it fresh in my mind. Maybe I'll hit a sweet vein of video game journalistic depth.
Well, and I think you maybe think about it too critically, J-Man. Like, there's nothing wrong with just having something that you absolutely adore. You're like,
that's true.
Yeah, I don't want to look at it again. I really like it for what it is in my mind. It was super fun. This is point A, B, and C, and I was there at the time. Like, this is great. Like, why do you need to give it a second pass? So degrade yourself.
Perhaps he wants us to understand and love it too.
Yeah, that's what I.
I'm adding it to my backlog, Jamie, for the summer.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'll do my best. Tell you what, hey. Here, I'll make a deal with you, just like I did with Jeff. I will play it as soon as you already owe me. I will play it as soon as I start playing. As soon as you start playing Persona 4.
Oh, Persona 4.
Yeah,
but Persona 4 is so long.
Well,
is that a really long game?
No,
like
I don't think so.
100 hours. That's
wait,
not
really?
Bad, right?
I thought it was 20-30 for just the main quest.
Like 100 approximate, like 99 hours roughly.
But is that for the main, like just to beat it, or is that for like
beat
all
it to beat it?
Wow.
Jesus.
Like a whole RPG?
Can I play 6 or 7 hours and feel like I got it?
Nope.
Like I get it? No.
Well, are you saying like can you play a game for a shorter amount of time and have an appreciation for it? No, definitely not for this one. Like, you, no. I don't keep company See, that's with the those thing. Fucking like, people.
I can only invest 100 hours into Valkyria Chronicles 3.
Jimmy, let me tell you this. Persona 4 is a better Valkyria Chronicles.
But wait. Is there? Can you set up your movements so that the enemies get interrupted and then you shoot them?
Yes. Is there a blue-haired girl with huge boobs?
Yes.
Yeah, that's really my main.
Yeah. No, both, yes. Yeah. The thing that is super awesome, if you want to take it to that vein, Jimmy, you can, your movements, your actions are Pokemon-style weakness effects, but the enemy also can... the enemy also has the same rules against you, which is kind of like everything goes both ways. So if you are a lightning type and you attack somebody who's a ground type, you know, that's not going to do anything, but then vice versa. So it makes for some really interesting strategy, which is oftentimes not seen in, you know, some RPG games because, they try and make it easier, but this is kind of grueling in that everything is equal on both sides adhering to these same rules. So it's not like Overwatch and shooting guys, but you have agency over how you enter battle, and that is completely critical on how you succeed in battle, and then you're strategizing from there.
Man, this sounds both great and completely terrifying at the same time. It's like a whole bag of worms.
I'll play Siberia when you play Persona 4.
How much is Persona 4 Super Golden Elite?
Less than $20.
I'm pretty sure you missed like a mega sale where it was cheap.
You can get it for $20 somewhere.
I think it might be $20 in PSN right now.
$20 is it is how much you should pay for that game.
But you like that game for the story too, right?
Yep.
You don't just like it because it's crazy and there's types of people. You just like it. The story is also amazing.
The story is also amazing.
That's more compelling to me than whatever it is you just said that I didn't understand.
Yeah, no, sorry. The story of it is a billion times better than the mechanics. And if the mechanics are at all interesting, like if you like JRPGs, then you'll probably like this game because it has those. But
I've been kind of hanging for one, actually.
This will totally fulfill you because it has that Pokemon. It has everything, really, is what totally sold me on this, where it's like, okay, so it has one Pokemon Pokemon game design where you're collecting things. Like you're like, I'm going to beat this boss, I'm going to beat this monster, and then I'm going to get this thing out of it, this monster out of it that will improve my powers and diversify my game portfolio. And I also have to get all of them.
But does it have airships?
It doesn't have an airship because the storytelling is from a real world perspective. You are a human who's
airships are real.
You're living in small town Japan. It's like this little sleepy, like small town, like not a farm town, but not a big city, like right in between. And you're like, it's like, oh, the Kmart came into town. So then everybody's like, oh, fuck the Kmart. But then you go to the Kmart and people are like, oh, man, like, let's jump into the TV. And you do that. And you fucking go in the TV.
That sounds awesome.
And then the girl who owned the liquor store got murdered by somebody. And you're like, I really liked her. And they're like, no, you didn't. She was a bitch. And you're like, fuck, no, you're a jerk. She was awesome. And that story continues from there, and you meet all these people, and you're like, hey, let's figure out this mystery. Like, why are these people getting murdered in Kmart? And then it's like, this guy is like an underclassman who might be gay or maybe not, and this person's like our detective, and this person's like your best friend, and this lady has a hot spring, and you're like, let's go get naked in the river. And like, okay, no. And this is and you meet a fox, and the fox lives in a shrine.
Can I ask another quick question? Does the main antagonist have a tail or other strange non-human appendage like a single wing?
Well, here's the thing, Jeff.
I won't buy it.
This game is one of the few games you can play through and it not be stupid hot trash fighting God at the end.
Yeah, I was about to ask, how much religious jargon is in this game?
Because you already killed Jesus two-thirds of the way through it.
The baby Jesus?
No, you kill fake Jesus, who is, like, literally called fake Jesus, and then, it's such a good game, like, there's a girl in it who's your younger sister who falls in love with, like, not in love with you, but, like, is, like, she dotes over you. And,
I'm fapping.
And things happen, and you're like, oh my gosh, like, it's heartbreaking, like, literally heart-wrenching in a video game. And, like, I think a week ago or two, like, I was criticized because I was like, oh, play Monster of Mon piece or whatever, but it's not going to have actually, like, interesting mechanics to it. So I was like, I want a big dumb game with big rubbing boobies or whatever. That sounds fun, but I want actually some, like, good game design. This game does just that, which is what I like for, like, where it's like, it's a big dumb JRPG with fun, crazy characters and anime stereotypes and crazy obscure mechanics and stats and stupid shit and insane stories and clubs and Pokemon and all that crap, but it's everything is done well. Like, everything. Like, you don't look at this game, you're like, well, if only this could have been better, it would have been a more successful game. Like, no. Every single portion of Persona 4 is an amazing video game.
It is beloved. Look at the Metacritic. It's like not over 90%.
No, don't look at the Metacritic. Look at me! Look at me! It's a good game.
No, I completely hear it. I mean, every time you talk about it, it sounds incredible. Definitely want to give it a go. It's just literally, I just fear the time commitment.
It's true. I mean, the hardest thing about Persona 4 is, like, you literally need 100 hours of free time to go and play this game. Because you, on top of the clear time, like, you will screw up, you will make mistakes, you want to redo things, and it will take a lot of time.
How long does it take to just play through to the end once?
Well, my time clock was at 100 hours, so...
Okay.
I mean, that's 4 days, right?
That's crazy. I thought Xenogears was crazy with its 60 to 70 hour play time.
Play a modern RPG. How about that, Jeff? Bazam. Whoa.
I really thought, I know, like, this Gaia has, like, you know, 1,000 hour play times, but I don't know. But yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. 99 hours.
You should probably try it, Jamie, just so you can say you tried it. Play it on the Vita. You can play it elsewhere. You can take it with you.
I will.
Jeff,
play it.
You should play it too, Jeff.
I played Persona 3 and I didn't like it at all. I just thought it was really boring.
Well, Persona 4 is a better game.
Yeah, but it's cut from the same cloth, so I don't know how I could like it.
It's cut from the same cheese cloth. Like, Persona 3 is holy and impressive and interesting, but it's also holy and unimpressive and kind of boring.
Okay. Every time I watch a video of Persona 4, it just looks really not fun to me.
All right. It's fine.
But maybe I'll try it at some point.
No,
I don't know.
Just give it up and, like, don't like anything that's cool anymore.
I bought Persona 3 really excited to dig my teeth into it, and it just didn't get me. I don't know.
That's my worry too, Jeff. I'm worried that even if the story is incredible, sometimes I just can't get into the types of mechanics that I know that these games have. Even if they're amazing, like I understand.
Yeah,
I guess my confusion is if you're able to get into, like, a platformer or an other kind of JRPG that costs you hundreds of hours that you just may not realize in your life, why can't you give this game, which is better, a chance?
Give peace.
I think it's
chance.
Just inertia. I just think it's just inertia. Just, you know, haven't bought it yet. The thought of a long game that
it's,
you're not sure how you feel about.
It's just like Earthbound for you. You're going to be like, but it's not that good.
Can I read you all the games that I bought so you can understand where I'm at with the games, the pressure that I feel? Okay. Knock Knock. Call of Juarez Gunslinger, Dragon Age Origins, Gianna's Sisters, Twisted Dreams, Jesus,
sorry.
Kentucky, Route Zero, La Mulana, Nidhogg, Papers, Please, Valiant Hearts, Shovel Knight, Wolfenstein, Tuffy the Corgi, and I bought Siberia for you guys.
Oh, you bought it for Griffin too? Griffin, yeah. You have it on your computer and you won't play.
Yeah.
I haven't installed it yet.
Should I talk about which of those games I've actually tried?
Yeah, yes. Please. Yeah.
Okay. I'll just like super quick just like bulldoze through it, cuz I play a lot. I guess I'll go through the games that I've played that I bought on Steam sale first. So, Call of Juarez Gunslinger is incredible. For $3.74, it's like amazing. I told you guys about it before. It's kind of like a very fast-paced greatest hits tour through the Wild West. All the major legends are there, and you play through these really quick little scenarios where you'll meet Billy the Kid and all sorts of other people just in these kind of little like snippets. It almost feels like it has the pacing of like an NES remix, but it's like an FPS game.
It's like the Shanghai Knights of video games.
I don't know what that is, but
it's a shitty Owen Wilson Jackie Chan movie.
Film. Shanghai Noon of video games.
It plays like Time Crisis, right? Like it's on rails gun shooting.
It doesn't. It's not that on rails. So you move around.
Okay.
You decide which path to take through the environment. Okay. And so on and so forth. But it feels like Time Crisis in terms of the excitement and just the general. You know, it's easy. You shoot a lot of guys. It is very fast paced.
Do they throw axes at your screen if you don't shoot them fast enough?
No, unfortunately.
They tell you to reload.
They do not. But it's so cool. While you're wandering through the environments, which are beautiful, by the way, it doesn't look cel shaded in the screenshots, but it somehow is, which is really cool. When you're actually playing it, it's a really cool effect. It's like realistic but cel shaded. I can't think of another game that really does it like it does.
Borderlands.
No. It's more realistic than Borderlands.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. It looks pretty much like most AAA games on last gen looked, but it has this interesting cel-shaded thing going on, which is pretty cool. And when you're wandering around the environments, you find little items which allow the narrator to be interrupted by the people he's telling these tales to, and they correct you. Because you'll say, "Oh, I busted out of the bar and I was greeted by 100 Indians and I killed them all." And so then you will play and you'll kill like 100 Indians. And then someone in the bar will say, "Hey, no, that's not how it went. Like, you busted out of the bar and there were 2 Indians and they took you cap." And you're like, "Oh yeah, I guess you're right." And then the level will rewind and rebuild itself in real time. And then you'll play the same sequence again, but like what the guy said will happen.
That's really cool. That's super cool.
Yeah. So that's fun. And for $3.74, it's like, oh my God, that's probably the best purchase I made of the whole Steam sale.
What about Giana Sisters?
I like that game a lot.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Well, the first one was like infamously this kind of shitty clone of Super Mario.
Well, have you played Twisted?
No, I haven't. Dreams? I haven't. No.
It's really good. It was well reviewed. That's why I bought it.
Oh,
because it was on sale on, on both GOG and Steam. And it was, I was like, "What's this?" I looked at some screenshots. I read a bunch of reviews, and I was like, "I'm down." And I just actually played it. I'm still playing it right now. It's actually kind of superb.
Oh.
It's like it's a superlative platformer.
Interesting.
It's beautiful, and you're two sisters, and you can change between them at any point. They have different abilities, and you don't need to press a button to change between them. You simply press the button on the controller for the ability, and then they transform.
Ah.
So you're probably thinking, if that is like, why do you need two of them then? Because if you just press the button, they do the thing. Why can't it be one person with two abilities? And it's because when you press the button to change sisters, the entire level changes. So the environment changes. Yeah. And very cool. Really cool game. So that check that out if you see it on sale again, for sure. Dragon Age Origins, I did not expect to be as old school PC like RPG as it is.
Well, it's
it
a
is
really
like,
good game. You should, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it. Like, it's I love the writing, and I really like the combat too. Even though it's kind of it allows you a lot of options, and at first seemed a little overwhelming to me. Mm-hmm. But I'm really really enjoying that. I haven't played much.
It has much like a gamut system of you can create an if-then statement for almost all of your characters.
Yeah, that's the thing that scared me at first, but then I realized that, at least in the beginning, you can kind of ignore it.
Right, because you can just slow down and, like, early BioWare micromanage every action, every turn.
Exactly, yeah. I'm excited about that game. I thought that it was really cool that not only for the race that you choose, but also the background story for each race,
yep.
You have a completely unique starting area and, story... and set of missions. I think that's awesome. And you'll never see the other ones. You re-roll.
You guys are making me want to install this game.
You won't like it.
Why not?
I think you might, Jeff. I don't think that you'll think it's like Mass Effect at all. It doesn't feel that way. I mean, to me, they both feel awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this has its own unique thing going on that
added
you might
to the backlog
be drawn
list.
To.
I didn't like it because it was like the standard like dark fantasy, like, oh, it's the high elves and the dark elves and the high dwarves and the low dwarves, like everything is a political syllogism and you should just be the white guy.
I like that stuff a lot actually, which is probably why I'm digging it so much.
I actually really like the story after you broke out of the character origin missions. I thought that was so much a ton of fun. And actually, Jamie, you mentioned Dragon Age, and I read up on Dragon Age, and I forgot how much I really loved and played it, because I ended up almost beating the first one, and then I beat the second one, and I was like, holy crap, like, maybe I'm ready for the third one. Like, maybe I'm super bizarrely pumped in a way that I forgot about Dragon Age.
That kind of played into my decision to get it on Steam. So that and the fact that it was like $2 or something, and I was like, "All right, fine."
Yeah,
I've been wanting to play it forever, and I might as well. I'm kind of pumped for the new one too. I could definitely go for something that has the depth of the story that it presents, but maybe with a battle system and an equipment system and a magic system. This is a little more streamlined. I've heard that the new one's going to be maybe a little too streamlined, like closer to the second one than the first, which I'm scared of. But who knows?
I liked the second one. It was streamlined, but I liked it. So
I heard it was a lot of brown. A lot of like going back to the same places, and it all kind of looks the same. Did you find that was a problem for you, or not really?
Well, since I can barely remember it, probably. Like, if you're saying that was a boring point of it, then yeah, probably that was a big point of it.
Gotcha.
But I distinctly remember not hating the combat system as much as most people did.
Gotcha.
Wasn't Mass Effect kind of very, very simplified?
Which one?
2 and 3. I never played 3, but 2 was like a very simple system.
No, not really. I mean, compared to 1, not particularly. Like they've all been the same game.
They removed loot like entirely.
Well, I mean, no, but that's not true.
Didn't they?
No, they did not.
Okay. I thought they did. I don't really know. I thought it was like incredibly simplified, but I guess
the first game had more randomness to it, but the second game also like was they still had those things in it where it's like here is things that you can collect and do stuff with, like and armors and things. Like it wasn't quite as intense as the first game, but it was still there, you know, like not removed entirely. I don't know. That's a very reductive way to look at it.
Regardless, the first game is like chock full of all sorts of crazy stuff that you can equip. Mm-hmm. And
right.
Really, that it's like it seems like it's a very detail-oriented combat system and just game in general. Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot there. It's like they built an MMO, but they but they made it not suck by completely directing every experience that you have.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So I played that, and then I played La Mulana, which is awesome. Didn't know what that game was. So happy I bought that game.
Good.
Jeff, you played that, right?
Oh, yeah. I love La Mulana. Great game.
Yeah. Played Nidhogg. Great game. Can't wait to play you guys in Nidhogg.
Yes, let's.
Most definitely.
I bought Griffin Nidhogg because you already own it, Jeff.
Oh, nice. Fantastic.
For his birthday.
We need to compete in that ASAP.
Oh, my God. Have you guys played Papers, Please?
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that game.
I had a really hard time. I felt overwhelmed with all the information I was presented
with. That's the point of the game.
Yeah. I know, but I was like, I can't do this. And I pretty much just like quit out of fear. But I fully intend to return to it.
But then you had like the experience that the game creator wanted you to have. It's like literally an anxiety-producing experience.
Oh, I know.
I'm good. He got
me. Yeah. I completely agree. It's exactly what was supposed to happen, but I couldn't handle it at that given moment. So I was just like, it's too much.
Gotcha.
It's like horror games all over again.
The horrors of real life. We got to wrap it up here, guys.
Oh, no.
Oh, bummer. You got to do your thing.
We got to go to a concert.
Oh.
Oh, nice.
All right, well,
I played Cat Mario for the Wii.
It's great.
Nice.
It's pretty good.
Griffin, did you note that movement or traversal or anything about the game felt different than Galaxy? Just compare it to Galaxy real quick. You played Galaxy, right?
Yeah, not remembering much of it. And I don't know.
All right. On that note,
I can't really speak on that. Like the thing that I didn't like about Galaxy was it was just kind of boring. And
what did you like about this? Because you liked it, right?
I liked the cats.
Okay.
I liked the smaller worlds. I liked that you didn't have to jump from location to location, and it felt like a Mario game where it was like. What I didn't like about Galaxy was it was like kind of Mario 64, where it's like, jump into this big world and have these objectives. But then I didn't exactly know what I was getting into. I don't know. Like, maybe if I went back to it, I'd give it another chance. But I like this game. It reminded me a lot of like the bit Mario games. So I had a fun time with that.
Yeah, it feels more classic for sure.
Yeah,
I think it boils down to the movement. I think it's the eight directional movement versus full 360 movement and the diorama isometric presentation. I think those are the two things that make it feel more old. I don't know.
Maybe
I've been thinking about it.
Two things that make me like it in Galaxy while still loving it.
Oh yeah,
I really don't like the eight direction movement, and I really don't like the presentation. I often found myself having to just search for the proper camera position because otherwise I can't judge these jumps. Like I don't know how. Like I hate like the I either want Mario like in front of me like a first person shooter, or I want the side scrolling. Mm-hmm, I do not want that in between thing.
Yeah.
Boop. Boop. Yeah,
I understand that. It didn't bother me too much, but that's a perfectly valid complaint.
I like this game a lot. I like the cat things. I understand how people are saying like this was an inferior Mario game because it didn't promote exploration because of the time limit. Totally get it. But I also it also made me think of like Mario World, where I'm like, oh my gosh, if I played this level enough, I'd know all the intricacies of it, and I really like that part about it.
Well, the nice thing about the time limits were the levels were small enough that you could just hop back in if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I still don't like time limits in my Mario games personally. I liked when they went away.
Okay, I mean that's fine. It's just
I'm with you.
It reminded me of Mario World, where I'm like, you know, you didn't think about it at that time because you knew exactly what you needed to do. Well, at least I did. And in this one, I had that same kind of vibe where I'm like, okay, here's the goal. I'm not gonna fuck around. Like, you can only do so much in this level, and I can get a feel for it in three turns. Like, I can do it three times, and I kind of explore all of it. Now I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked it. I think they both brought something completely different. I'm kind of the opinion that both are superlative. I think that I probably had more pure, unadulterated joy playing Galaxy 2, but I respect greatly what they were doing in 3D World, and I think it's fantastic in its own right. So yeah.
It's good music, fun game, a good time.
Jamie, real quick, did you finish Broken Age?
Yes.
That's good. Awesome.
I did.
Okay.
What do you think of the... Oh, I think we already talked about it.
We talked about it a little bit. I don't think it's like a earth-shatteringly great game, but I don't think it's a bad game. I had fun playing it.
Agree.
I think that I would have had more fun playing it if I expected less and had played it on my iPad.
Agree with all of everything you said is right.
Perfect. All right, well, let's shut it down here. Happy 4th of July, listeners.
All right, guys.
Go play Persona 4 or whatever stupid comic book themed games you want to. Sorry, no.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have to wait until the next podcast. I think that they will be done with The Wolf Among Us, so we can go to town.
Oh, my goodness.
Or I can go to town.
You can finally describe that amazing glitch.
You can.
Yes, finally. I've been holding on to it.
Talk about the three little piggies.
There's only one. He's fat. And he wants your alcohol.
Yeah.
So, oh.
All right, whatever.
The dog take.
Yep.
Oh, on the fairy tales we grew up with.
Puff and Puff.
His name is Colin.
I blow your house down.
His name is Colin?
His name is Colin for some reason.
Yeah, nice. His name is Colin. All right, gentlemen, this has been Boss Bro Radio. We're going to shut it down here. Jeff, Jamie, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
I hate all of you.
Welcome to Earth.